Amen. Father God, we just praise you and glorify you. Thank you, Father, for being in us and abiding in us and us abiding in you, Lord. Father God, I just praise you and glorify you for answering all of our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you're cleaning us up. You're making us ready to be the bride, that great and wonderful bride that's ready to meet the groom. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you for all that you're doing. You're bringing your people together from all over the world. And great and wonderful things are happening. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that your gifts that we know about and those that we know about, but very few do. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to open up all those gifts to us. In Jesus' name, as needed. We thank you, Father, for this great anointing is coming upon the man-child and the bride here shortly. And I thank you, Father, for all the healings that are taking place and have taken place and will take place in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that all curses spoken against this outreach, fellowship, and the local cast down is null and void. You don't have any ammunition that'll penetrate the Holy Spirit that surrounds us, the blood of Jesus that surrounds us. And I thank you, Father, for that. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to have a wonderful time in you tonight. Thank you, Father, for all the wonderful testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Nick.
So my mom had this new mower and it stopped working. And we took it all apart, took the carburetor off of it, opened it up. Sure enough, there was water in the gas. So we had to drain all the gas out of it. And all of the gas in it had water in it, and we put new gas in it, and it worked.
Awesome. Awesome. Man, we know where to bring our lawnmowers next time we have problems. No. Take them to Nick. Nick will fix them. Glory to God. All right, Nick. Good testimony. Thank you, Father. All right, Benjamin. Thank you, Nick.
So Karen has an ear infection. She went to the hospital and everything, but I'm going to rely on the Lord to heal her ear. So I hope everyone just agrees with me in prayer. Father God, I put up Karen at the altar for a mighty healing in her ear. thank you, Father, for healing her, for taking care of us at the cross. And Lord, I pray that she receives faith that it is already done and that the pain subsides and it goes away in the name of Jesus. I cast out that demon and I send forth my angel to combat the doubt that she has in her mind that is making her think that it's still hurt, but it's not in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for doing this in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We put our faith together with Benjamin, and we thank you, Father. Karen is healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Be whole and be healed, Karen, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? All right. Y'all ready to hear a good song? Okay, we're gonna have one. Uh-oh. Gotta wait over here just a second. This is Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. They're singing a Gaither song called Sometimes It Takes a Mountain.
faced a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes.
Okay, had to turn that off. All right, I like that. That was good. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight at some point in time, not right now. I don't see the person coming in that really needs to listen to it also. But I've got a clip that's going to be about 10 minutes long that's going to update you on what it looks like they're fixing to pay out to people in the United States. And it's not a small amount of change either. It's fairly big, could be a fairly big size. So we'll see. But I'm going to play it when they get it, when everybody gets on here and asks me to. And I was going to talk about it, but I believe it'd be better if you just listen to the guy and hear what he has to say and how it works. This is the NACERA, National Economic, whatever, I forget the whole thing. Let me see here. National Economic Stabilization and Reformation Act. And I thought I'd play that just for y'all's information and what it's going to do for you. Okay. Anybody want to talk about something? Money cometh. Don't be looking so sober, y'all. For goodness sake, put a smile on your face. Jesus loves you. He does. I do too. Lord of God. Who's got a good verse for tonight? Boy, this is going to be fun. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, Michael, I don't know if this is a good verse, but I've been reading it for some reason. Well, they're all good verses. But I was just I was looking in Jude in chapter one of Jude, which is the only chapter. Verse 23, it says, and 22 says, and some have mercy who are in doubt. I don't know if I read the context of this, but I was just thinking of this concept. And some save, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating in even the garment spotted by the flesh. And that was the wrong verse. I was thinking of something else. Maybe it isn't. Some have mercy who are in doubt, and some snatching them out of the fire, and some have mercy with fear. So I guess I was trying to think of, there's a lot of different ways. I won't say a lot of, maybe a lot of different ways that people come to the Lord. Some people are searching, for a missing element, just miss something missing in their life. And those people tend to be seeking and drawing, following the desire to know what that is. And eventually come to know the Lord, come into finding him as their the desire that they have been yearning for all their life. But it says, some snatching them out of the fire, and some have mercy with fear. And I think I'm thinking of another verse as well that's connected to this, but it seems like, it almost seems like some are drawn to the Lord and some are forced to the Lord through fear. And I guess any way you get there, as long as you end up there and walking with the Lord through the process, I guess it doesn't matter. But I don't know. I guess I was just looking. I didn't really have much to say about it. That song that we just listened to, sometimes it takes a mountain, you know. And that's also the kind of the way of our faith, that God leads us to these mountains or uncovers these mountains in our life in order to force us to him. And it's just kind of funny that even if you love the Lord, you can get into a mundane type of existence where you're just biding your time or whatever, slip into passivity or whatever it would be. And the Lord has to raise up some sort of a fear or a mountain or a turbulence of some sort in your life to shake you out of the lethargy, I guess. And so I just keep thinking, man, I just love how the Lord is absolutely able to take you from wherever you're at to wherever you need to be. And there's nothing in our lives that takes him by surprise. He's seen it all, done it all, you know, saved each and every one out of the deepest pit. There's no mountain too high that he can't take you through, you know, or problem. And each one of us approaches it in kind of in a different way. It just astounds me as I think about it, all the various different, I guess that's why the Bible is so complicated. And so, I mean, it is so massive because there's just so many, many applications that can be applied to our lives and to different people and to our lives in different times of our life and different maturity levels and growth and all of that. And it just stymies me when you start to think about it, that just how much of a master he must be in bringing and in turning souls to the kingdom and to the King. So I just have to praise him. He's just, sometimes, you know, when you're under that mountain and that's the only thing that you can see, the fire, you're in the fire, and it's the only thing you can do is just keep struggling and wondering if you're going to make it through. You know, I know God's going to get me through this process, but he's done it so many, many times before that we should never doubt or fear or question But we still do. We still, those, all those things still come up in us. So I just praise the Lord that he is washing us clean and taking that sin nature in its manifested form and nailing it on that cross, having already been done, and he's going to make it happen in reality and manifestation in each and every one of us. I just know it. So praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. What was the reference verse you gave, Pat? Was there a reference verse?
Well, it was Jude 1:23. But after I read that, that doesn't seem like it's the verse that I was thinking about.
Okay.
Oh, I know why. It's because it sounds different. It's a little bit different in the King James Version. And some having compassion, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. I should have read the last of it. Anyway.
Praise God. That's a good one. Okay. I had a question posed to me, and I'm going to pose it to y'all. If you're going to study the Word of God, what's the best way to do that? And you want to learn, you want to know for sure what the Word says. And you're just starting out in your walk. What's the best way to do that? One at a time now. Don't everybody crowd in here. Go ahead, Nick.
I think it would be going to the Bible first and then go out and give the gospel.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good way to do it. You're going to read the Bible, find out what it says, and go out and do the Bible, huh? Amen. That's a good way to do it. Okay, anybody else? I'll tell you what I found out years ago. I was doing my license for amateur radio. And I came across a good way to pass the test that I was fixing to take. I went three steps up into the ham radio licensing thing and got my not extra, but the one before that. I can't remember. It's not even in out there now, but I still have it. Anyway, and I ran across this booklet that said, you read this booklet 10 times before you go in to take the test and you'll pass the test. You don't have to study it. All you got to do is read it out loud 10 times And I did, and I aced the test. So there's something to that. Has anybody ever done that before? How many of you have looked on eSword and looked at R.A. Torrey's how to study the Bible? He said, one of the things he said, one way to do it, he said, and this came from a friend of his, or somebody he was acquaintance. He said, this guy was a Bible scholar, and he came across this young man that knew the word, man. I mean, he knew the word. And he asked him, he said, how did you get that? How did you get that in you? He said, one day I took my Bible out into the woods, and I read Ephesians 12 times. And he said, I knew it after I read it 12 times. And he said, that's one way to do it. And that's a great way to do it, is to read it, and it'll get in your spirit that way by reading. He said, in one sentence, don't do a chapter today and a chapter, you know, do it that way. He said, read the whole book 12 times in one sitting. Now, the amateur radio guy said 10 times. I did it 10 times, I used to think. But if you do it 12 times, that's that much more. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, Julie. Julie has. Glory to God.
Yeah, I want to share something. Not exactly what you said, but my translation of the Bible that I've had a long time and I've used before I got the ASB is it says in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 3 it says, blessed is he who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are they who hear and who keep what is written therein, for the time is near. So I took that literally and I read it out loud, and every time I would read Revelations, I mean at the time that's what I read Revelations, and I would actually stand and read it like I was preaching. And I know I don't do that, but that's what I was doing.
Amen.
And you know what? I felt something. I felt something significant when I did that. There was power in it. When you there speak is. The word of God out loud, when you speak the word of God out loud. So just wanted to share that.
That's what he said he did. He read it out loud. He'd read it out loud, and he'd read it in the, you know, I don't know how he read, but he's out in the woods. How many of you go out in the woods to read the Bible? I do. I got a chair sitting out there in the woods, right out in the middle of the woods. I go, I mostly just go out there and pray. I don't just go out there and read my Bible. Go ahead, Theo or Lana.
When I was in college and was studying for exams, one of the things that I would do is go over the material necessary for the exams and read it out loud, and then close my eyes and read it out loud, open my eyes and check my work. And I know this was for memorization purposes, but it worked. And then when I was in algebra and was struggling with formulas, instead of trying to figure out what the formula meant on the first try or try to decipher it, I would just keep doing the problems that were presented to me in order to practice the formula. And it would take 10 of those problems before all of a sudden it just clicked. You know, your mind memorizes the formula. And then once you start to apply it, you start to understand what it means. And I've come to believe the same thing with the Bible. Just keep reading. And if you can read more, read more. If you can start memorizing it, keep memorizing it. And the Lord will reveal it to you. And if you can read one book in one sitting 12 times, by golly, do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If it works, it works, right? Glory to God. Yeah, any kind of way. Anybody got a different way to do it? There's all kinds of ways you could study the Bible. You could get it in your spirit. Yeah, Katie.
I like to take notes when I read the word. I feel like that helps me stay focused, and then I can like go back and look at it too, at what I wrote down. And it just helps it like get more in my mind. So I love to just like write notes or journal or just write any revelations down as I'm reading. And that really has helped me.
Yeah, I do that too, Katie. When I see something significant, a verse significant that I want to remember, I'll write it down. And curtsy, even. I can write curtsy. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, that's a good way. Go ahead, Geneva.
I was going to say something I've been doing is I got one of those fancy little pens that you use for like your iPad or smartphone, something like that. It was only like $10. Actually, it's not that fancy. But anyways, I just take that and I write on it over and over and over the scripture over and over and over and over. Sometimes I get to like 3 or 4 pages, but I finally get it down. So, I mean, it helps me. So I like that little, I like doing that.
Yeah. Well, they say writing it is a great way to remember. And the way you do it is a good way. It's the best way. Glory to God. Write it over and over. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Vanita.
Yeah, like when I was trying to study Revelation, it was just so complicated, just the end time stuff. It was just so hard to understand. And of course, I was in a pre-trib mindset at the time. And the thing that I had to do was, you know, I went and listened to a bunch of people, a bunch of different like YouTubes or whatever, and their points of view on it. And until I found David's. Once I listened to that one, that was like my baseline. Then I would listen some more to other ones and just compare them back to, you know, which one was like the most truth, I guess, you know, and just had to compare them until I could come to a conclusion. And then I just really delved into, once I found that, I could really start studying a lot of how he taught it and different aspects of it, because it's just so much to me. There's just so many places and references, and I can't get them all. I can't find them all. And I don't, David already did it, so I just use him a lot.
That's a good idea. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Father. How many of you listen to a Bible study over and over and over until you get that? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Father. That's a great way to do it also. Oh, we got a praise report here. Got a dead raising. All right. Monroe had a good report here. He said, praise report, our 16-year-old sausage dog accidentally walked into the pool and drowned about a week or so ago. I dove him out and performed CPR on his dead body while praying fervently for his resurrection. And he came back. The exact same thing happened the day before yesterday. He is one of 4 zombies we have running around on the property. Praise God. That's awesome. You got 4 dogs that have been raised from the dead. That's awesome, man. Glory to God. That's awesome. I don't know if I could get myself to get down there and put my mouth on his mouth, though. That's he might be in trouble. But if you love him, you'll do it for him, won't you? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's awesome, Monroe. Thank you for doing that, sharing that. Okay. Anybody else on, I started to say raising the dead, but I meant studying the Word of God. Go ahead, Patrick.
So, I don't know about studying the Word of God, but, let me rephrase that.
When shame you're just for starting shame. Out,
yes. I caught myself. I know that when, it was interesting when the Lord took us into, the church, pastor kind of took us under his wing and set us up on a Bible reading system, you know, at the time. And we were just young Christians. And, you know, reading through the Bible in a year, that type of thing. Now, I know that that is, you know, kind of a maybe a legalistic type of thing or whatever, or it's good for learning, you know, disciplines and stuff like that, and get into the habit of reading the word. But the interesting thing about it is even as you read through the word, and you and you're reading that every day, chapter after chapter, and as you go right on through the Bible, you start to become aware of things that you never thought, you never knew were in the Bible, number one. And it just widens your perspective, even though you don't understand, you know, 90% of it. And you kind of tend to dread some of those, I remember going through the description of the temple. I think it was in Numbers or something like that. And man, that a socket here and a latchet here and all that. I mean, man alive, I couldn't hardly follow any of that. But the crazy thing about it is it gives you an awareness of the absolute detail that God has, right down to the, I mean, just, you know, I mean, think about it. God knows the number of hairs that you have on your head, and you can't fathom that type of, you know, knowledge or understanding or whatever. But anyway, it widens your perspective. You see just how vast and wide, you know, God's dealing with men have been, and all the various different, you know, aspects of his word. So even though I don't do it anymore, and unfortunately I'll crack open the Bible and I'll read a few, and then I'll think of a thought about something, and then I'll shift over to another scripture, and I can't anymore kind of bounce around to scriptures. But I think that habit should be, I should get back into the habit of reading massive amounts of his word. And, you know, go through the Gospels, you know, once a month or whatever it would be, just to, because you certainly forget about certain things in the word, and it's just amazing. When, matter of fact, there was, I don't know if you've have these Bible reading, you know, audios or, MP3s or whatever. Those are really good when you're just traveling and driving across the country and driving to work. If you have, you know, drive for half an hour, you can really knock out a lot of the word that way. But anyway, so I think when you're a new Christian, I think that's kind of a very important thing to do, is get as much of the word in you as possible. So
yeah, I knew a guy that had trouble reading because his eyes were real bad. And David got him a MP3 player with the Bible on it. And he listened to that thing all the time. He listened to it, and he listened to it, and he listened to it. And we started noticing when he'd speak up and he'd start talking about the word that David might have been talking about something. And he would come as Kurt, busy. And he would expound on it because he had heard it. And he'd heard it so much, you know. He'd listen to it all the time that he could, every spare moment he'd listen to it. And that's a good way to do it. Now, when you're driving across country, listen to the word. And you can do that. Have you ever just put it on continuous and listened to one book? Yeah, that's easy to do. Who's that baby? Look at that baby. What's that baby's name? I forget.
Eden.
Eden. Hey, Eden. Hey, buddy. Yeah, go on with yourself. Hey, buddy. I see you, boy. I see you. Hey, buddy. Look at them big eyes. Glory to God. Hi. Hi. Yeah. He said, look at all them people. Yeah, you're showing out now, aren't you, buddy? All right, Eden. That's too cool. We got a bunch of babies. At least two. Three. All right. Anybody else on studying the Word of God? Good way to do it. Or your way to do it.
You know, it does say in the Word that they shall be saved through childbearing. So these guys are taking that too literally, son.
Yeah, well, that's good. Multiplying the apostles here, the disciples. Amen. Praise God. Oh, it's a she. Is it a she? Okay. I knew that. Is that the one we blessed? That's the one me and David blessed, wasn't it? With you and your mom? No? Okay.
I don't remember.
All right. Hey, girl. You got to put pink on, Katie, so we'll know.
I know. Even when she's in all pink, everyone's like, oh, hi, little boy. I'm like, what?
Well, as soon as you can, you got to get a couple of ponytails up there, you know.
Yes. She looks just like her daddy, so.
Yeah. Hey, girl. So that's the reason she wasn't answering a while ago. She said, I ain't no boy. Hey, sugar. Let's see. We got Shoshana about her age. And Hattie, she's not quite that old yet. See any more? Trying to think of any more. I think that's it as far as the babies go.
There's Gabe.
Yeah, but Gabe's not that, he's older. He's almost grown now. Yeah. Yeah, Gabe, he's probably what, two or three?
He just turned two weeks ago.
Yeah. Gabriel.
I have another thought.
Okay.
When I got into reading the Bible consistently, I really wanted to understand everything. And so I'd be looking at resources and even watching videos. And I've started to learn that when you're studying scripture and you're truly going after the Lord, you need to wait on him. You need to be patient with yourself and let the Lord reveal it to you and just be sure to consume as much as possible. Cause I get lost in researching resources if I'm not led in of the Lord, and it gets to be overwhelming and it discourages me. And I'm starting to learn that the Lord is like that with us in all things, right? In our trials, in the things that he teaches us, and in his word as well. So first and foremost, we wait on the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell us everything we need to know.
Amen. That's exactly right. How many of you just meditate on one verse for a while, and the Lord really reveals a lot of stuff out of it? Yeah, that's a good way to do it too. That's a good way to do it. I've read things that I've read for years, and I come across it one day, and I just sit there and look at it, and all of a sudden, it starts peeling away, and I start seeing stuff in it. Good gracious. I've read it for many times, you know. Yeah, Nick.
I did ask for prayer.
Okay.
Me and my grandpa are heading up north to get his camper and come back on Sunday. We're going up Sunday morning, early morning, like at 8 o'clock, and then coming back the same day.
Okay, so 8 o'clock ain't early, Dick. I just wanted
to ask for safe travel.
Okay. Lord, we just pray for protection for Nick and his dad. We thank you, Father, not going to have any problems whatsoever. And I thank you, Father, they're going to get back before dark, in Jesus' name. And they won't freeze to death out there either, in Jesus' name, being up in Michigan. All right, Nick, you're going to have a good time, buddy. I wouldn't get up no earlier than that, though. That's pretty early.
Yeah, because we want to try to beat the traffic.
Yeah, okay. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, y'all have fun. I know you'll have fun with your dad. Okay, anybody else? Monroe said, two dogs, one cat, and a hamster, CPR. Only once on the sausage dog. Okay, maybe that's all you'll have to do, Monroe. Glory to God. Oh, my. You do it. No, you do it. No, you do it. Oh, my. Anybody else? Well, Debbie, I'm going to go ahead and play this thing. She can back up on it and see it on the UBM, you know, the outreach replay.
Okay. We told her 9, but if you need to go earlier, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to put the link in the chat. And then she can also go there if she'd like. I think I can. Let me see here. Yeah, that's it. Okay, that's it right there. Okay. Now, I think it's going to be about 10 minutes long. It's about all it is, if y'all don't mind. It's this very good information that's going to happen, it looks like, next week, the first of next week. So, let's get to it.
Here's the first pay type. What is reclamation? It's the act of returning something to a former, better state. Now, in land, it involves raising a strip mall or planting crops. It's a noun, or in the noun form of the verb, it means to reclaim. Most people involved in reclamation want to reclaim something out of a sense of moral or environmental duty. Now let's transfer this over to our monetary system. This is NASARA, the National Economic Stabilization and Reformation Act. And I'm going to say that again. The Economic Stabilization and Reformation Act. The deep state has put information out there that has changed the words to make it look like you understand which program we're talking about. They changed the S between stabilization and security, and they changed the R from reformation to restoration. So, the only official plan that we're talking about right here, National Economic Stabilization and Reformation Act. I probably should have put this in here. But this is the domestic payout portion for the United States. It's already mirrored onto the quantum financial system into your account. And that's what you're going to claim or reclaim at the Redemption Center. Now, it's intended to restore what the evil cabal deep state Khazarian Mafia stole. Everything that they've taken since time began. All the way down through your lineage. So what could we potentially see? Well, I did another presentation where I actually went into depth on the breakout of all of this and how it was actually calculated. So if you're interested in that, I suggest you go look up that video. But it's basically broken down into three groups. Group one, 61 and over. Group two, 45 to 60. And group three, 24 to 44. So the question always comes up, what's the minimum age to participate in NASARA? 24. We don't know the date that that is being established, but there will be a date, and it could be the date the EBS goes off. It could be the date that the email goes out. We don't know yet. But there will be a day that constitutes you have to be 24 by this date. Now, back in that Dan Rostenkowski meeting in 1994, he spoke of $25 million per person, age adjusted. So I bring that up because I want you to understand that these values, you can see group 61, it's up to $61 million. And you can see my asterisk. The values were calculated based upon the 1994 meeting with Dan Rostenkowski. Group 2, up to $38 million. And group 3, up to $23 million. And again, these are my calculations based upon specific information that I had, confirming what the values were approved in 2016, and carrying all those values forward using a growth rate from 1994 to 2023, which consisted of pie. And that is a story in itself. I encourage you to go look at that short video. So that's the first component, reclamation. That brings us into the second type of payout. What is restitution and reparation? I've seen where they're kind of playing around with this last wording. Sometimes they refer it to as recreational, but let's just stick with the hardcore truth. Okay? What is restitution? It's the act of giving back something that has been stolen or lost. In law, it's the act of compensating for loss or injury by reverting as far as possible to the position before the injury occurred. Meaning, they look all the way back to when everything was just fine, and then they assess the damage. And that's just not the monetary damage. It can be the mental trauma. It can be anything related to that. What a person went through because they lost something. What's reparation? It's the making of amends for a wrong one is done by paying money to or otherwise helping those who have been wrong. And that's what's happening here. Since the Federal Reserve was created December 23rd, 1913, for 108 plus years, their mandate was to steal, kill, and destroy, along with the IRS and the SEC. That was their modus operandi. What does it include? This would account for all of the unconstitutional acts committed upon humanity. The income taxes, which we know were involuntary from their position. They forced us to pay income taxes. We did not have a choice because the strong arm of the IRS, not part of our Constitution, not part of our government system, but a third-party entity incorporated in Puerto Rico, operating under the crown, was there to take our money. They did it through income taxes, interest, mortgages, credit cards, loans, property taxes, by converting us to chattel, which meant that we became property. And through that designation, various types of bonds were taken out on us and traded on Wall Street. Our birth certificate became a bond. Our Social Security card became a bond. When we got married, our wedding certificate became a bond. If we were divorced, a bond. College and advanced degrees and professional designations, each one of those became a bond with a pre-described value that was traded on Wall Street. Even the life insurance, and you've heard me talk about that. Who's eligible? Three primary groups, again, 60 plus, 60 and over. Group two, 50 to 59. And group three, 30 to 49. Now I'm going to say that 30 loosely, because previously it had been established it's something in the 28-year range. Everything here is subject to change. Everything's very liquid. But the AI computer system spent years going through all the records to find out how much each person paid in income taxes. If you filed a joint return with a spouse and you're no longer with that spouse, 50% of the taxes paid will be refunded to that spouse, whether they were a wage earner or not. Group one, 60 and over. They're going to receive payment over 3 months for everything. Everything I described above. Group two, it'll be paid over 12 months. And there will be an interest factor, a nominal interest factor on that. Because we're basically receiving it not in lump sum like we will in Nasara. And for group three, over 15 years. But this in itself, I mean, I thought about it because I'm a tax guy, right? If you just figured what you paid in income tax, and they're saying that this could go back 40 years. So that would mean back to the 80s, starting in 1983. That's a lot of money. And then figure out what you paid in interest. Student loans, cars, mortgages. And as we all know, a mortgage is front-ended. So for the first 5 years on a mortgage, you're pretty much paying 95% or more is solid interest. So if you had a $3,000 a month mortgage payment, that's roughly $3,600 a year. I'm sorry. Yeah, $36,000 a year. And multiply that times 10 years. You can see these numbers are adding up fast. Put in their car loans, property taxes, which have been ridiculous. And then some portion of these bonds coming back. I mean, there have been estimates, and I've heard from other people who have figured out how to go and look up their bond certificates. Birth certificate bond, $8 billion in value. Social Security bond, in excess of $8 billion. Now, will we receive all of that? No. But a portion of it. And what if it was just 10%? 5%? It's a lot of money. So this is exciting for these different types of payments that are coming to make us whole. Now, if you're younger, you just haven't had enough time to pay into the system, but it doesn't mean you're not getting back what everybody else is. So don't be discouraged about the amount. Be overjoyed. This is only happening because God is in control. And it was time to take out this evil, and it's all gone. It's not going into the new system. He made that very, very clear. What is redemption? And I've broken it down into two types, type one and type two. Let's go over type one. That's going to cover the currency, foreign currencies, and the Zimbabwean exchange. And this is a covenantal legal term strongly associated with ransom, atonement, substitution, and deliverance, thus salvation. And what an apropos word. So theologically, redemption refers to ultimately to the saving work of Christ, who came to accomplish our redemption by giving his life in substitution for our own as the ransom price. It was his blood that paid for our salvation through him. Now, it's easy to think of redemption as the ultimate end, but restoration means that there is more to redemption than the promise of eternal life. And what does that mean? It means that the lives that are redeemed are restored to good purpose on earth. And as it says in Colossians 1, verse 9 through 12, God restored people to bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of him. And this is what we're going to be doing with these humanitarian projects as we move forward. That's the fruit. Now, this is identified as the redemption center. This is where the redemption process takes place. And it's where we're going to present ourselves, by ourselves, and for ourselves.
Okay. I don't think anybody. Anyway, did everybody understand what they were going to, what they were talking, what the guy was talking about? Anybody got any questions? You ain't got no questions if you're not 24 and over. Sorry. Okay, good. Everybody understood what you're going to get. Praise God. And we'll see what happens, right? Like my daddy said, you can hear anything but money rattling and meat frying. All right. Now, what do y'all want to talk about? Money coming. How many of you know the money that we get is going to be used to get the gospel out? Not to buy us a big fancy house and big fancy car. I'll tell you this much. There are two other tiers above the tier of 4B. And the one guy went out. He'd already gotten some money for his currency. And he went out and he bought a Maserati. And they shut him off. They said, this is not what this is for. This is for humanitarian projects. And so, you know, how many of you know that you can't work on a Maserati in the United States? Give me a break. Or not in Arkansas, anyway. Or Tennessee. Maybe in Nashville. But anyway, God's going to finance his own revival coming up here shortly. It's going to be good. Yeah, Benita.
I was just wondering, is that associated with the coming of the man child? I was just wondering if that was associated somehow with the coming of the man child.
It could be. I don't know. It could be. The Lord won't let us set dates. Mm-hmm. We just have to, when he says, he told us, if you remember what David says. I got to get this. Hang on. Go ahead.
Since I have the mic, I'll go ahead and read a verse. How about that? All right. Isaiah 54, verse 4. Fear not, you will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid, there is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrows of your widowhood. For your Creator will be your husband, the Lord of Heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief. I just feel like this fits in with the Nisarg Sarah thing that just is, he just showed, but as though you were a young wife abandoned by your husband, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandoned you, but with great compassion, I will take you back. In a burst of anger, I turned my face away for a little while, but with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Amen. That was in the New Living Translation. It was not ASV.
I missed some of that, but somebody else, I don't know what you've been talking about.
Oh, I just read Isaiah 54 verse 4 on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
For those of you who do not know how to copy and paste out of chat, what you do is take your mouse and highlight everything that you want to copy. Right click and copy link. It says copy link. And then you can take that and put it in DuckDuckGo or whatever you use and it'll come up. And yes, anybody wants me to send it to them another way, I'll try. I can do that. Yeah, Judy.
Another way too is if you just click on the link in the chat, it'll open up in a whatever your default browser is. It'll open up
tab.
In
the page. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
And you can bookmark it or whatever to open it.
Amen. What happened? Did I shut my camera off? Oh, okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Patrick.
So I am keying off on, I was thinking the same thing as Vanita, and that is, how does this fit in with this, the revival here? At the end, the man child and the bride and the tremendous, devastation that will be in the midst. We have a war on our southern border, or, you know, we're in the preparation of building a army to attack America coming across our border right now. And, I'm thinking that if all of a sudden, well, I just don't see, I'm not quite sure how it's going to fit together in the plan, I guess, is what I'm kind of,
well, you're talking about money, about provision. Okay. Mm-hmm. How it fits into the end time structure.
Well, or scenario. As it fits into the revival scenario of the, basically the enemy coming in and in a flood across the world moving this world towards the mark of the beast, basically, pushing us into all kinds of wars and catastrophes, etc. And then, and that very pressure of that time God using to bring people to a seriousness for seeking his salvation, etc. And how does now everybody becoming rich fit into that? That almost seems like a flipping a relief valve to the pressure that's coming down the pike. I guess that's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay. Just a minute. I got 2-3 going on here at once. Okay. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. How does all this work? Well, I can tell you this much. Seems to me that the man child is coming. He will be anointed first, or they. And it looks like that all 144,000 of the man child ministries will go up the last throne visit, get their, or the first throne visit, get their anointing, come back, anoint the bride with the Latter-day rain, and also to let me see how I can say this. Pronounce judgment on the enemies of the bride, the enemies of the bride and the man-child. And at, during that same period of time, after he's been anointed, it looks like, I don't know, but I think this is the way it's going to transpire. And that is that the money, the provisions for that ministry will be given at that time or sometime during that period of time. Then the, and the ministry that, that gets the money, the man-child ministry gets the money, it will be to get the gospel out all over the world. Now, as far as how that's going to be done, ask the Lord. I believe that he's going to utilize this transferring of wealth like he has in the past to do this. And this Jasar could be a way that he utilizes. Also, you know, the other thing, the RD, which is the redemption part of the Nasara. Here's what's going to happen. A lot of people are going to get that money and go stupid. You know what I mean? How many of you ever heard these guys that won $500 million in the lottery and within 2 years got rid of all of them? You know, that's going to happen to people because they can't handle money. They don't understand how to utilize money. We are God's people. We're going to handle that money in a way that'll be pleasing to him. And what's going to be pleasing to him is to get that gospel out. That's what he wants. He wants the gospel out. We're going to get that gospel out. People are going to be, he's also going to be utilizing the gift of translations in the bride and the man child. I believe it's going to take, he's going to utilize that both in the man child and the bride. And not only that, if you'll open up your mind to think about the things that you're going to need, how about the gift of languages in case you go over to a country that you don't know the language? Lord, give me the gift of languages. I'm going to need that. I just believe you gave it to me. Then when if he tells you that you're fixing to go to wherever, you know, that you'll have that gift. He's going to give you whatever you ask for. because he wants this gospel to go out. And here's something else. We'll have 3.5 years to get this thing out, get this thing going. There's two waves of man-child ministry. Y'all know that, don't you? I think David's taught that a few times. The first man, the first fruits man-child ministry will go the first 3.5 years. And I believe that the second 3.5 years, the first fruits man-child will be doing like Jesus did, walking through walls and things like that. You know? I don't know that, but that's what it looks like, because he'd be going up to the throne a third time. And what happened to Jesus? He came back down and they couldn't handle it. He'd walk, you know, he'd just show up places. And I believe that's probably what's going to happen. And the first fruits will start their ministry the second fruits will start their ministry at that time. I think that's the way that it goes for the last 3.5 years, but they will have proven themselves in faith, walking in faith. That's what this first 3.5 years is for, is to teach people to believe and trust God for everything that they need. That's why we're in the bride. We've already been doing this. We've been doing this for years now, or should have been. That's who's in the bride, those that have been proven. All these things that we've gone through, all these mountains we've had to climb, that's our wilderness. We've gotten rid of the flesh, most of it. How many of you know God's grace and his mercy is far exceeds anything that we understand? Don't think for 1 minute that he can't snatch the rest of it out when he needs you to help. Remember what he said to those disciples, for goodness sake? Remember what he said to them? He said, you bunch of no-believing, doubting, good gracious sakes of life, can't believe nothing. Then he said, I tell you what, just go out 2 by 2 and go out there and heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils, and put the gospel out there. Yeah, it was like it was a punishment. That's the grace that God's got. That's the grace that God's got. He's got a lot of grace. He loves us. And when God loves us, ain't nothing can break that love. Go ahead, Missy.
I kind of understand where you're coming from, Pat. Okay, but man-child's supposed to teach the church how to depend on him for everything. But how's that going to happen when they're given all this money, when you can buy everything? But what came to my mind was the real test will be, well, they'll be taught that, you know, not to keep what you have for yourself. Not only that is when the mark of the beast comes, you're not going to be able to buy or sell or anything without taking the mark of the beast. So that's going to be the real test. You may have all this money, but are you going to take the mark of the beast so you can spend this money? Or are you going to refuse it? Because if you take the mark of the beast, then you know what that means. I'm just thinking out loud. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Remember the little rich kid that came up there and wanted to know what he had to do to come into the kingdom, be one of God's chosen, and finally got down to the nitty gritty. And Lord, I'll tell you what you do. You go out and sell everything you have and come follow me. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do it. There's going to be some people like that. Money is a tool that we use to get the gospel out. It's not to gratify our flesh. Now you can buy you a good stick of bologna if you want to. That's good. That's okay. Go ahead, Benita.
I especially like pickled bologna, so that's where it's going. No, I was just going to say, what Missy was saying, you know, we've got that first 3.5 years to use that money. Because like you said, we can't use it after unless we take the mark of the beast. So it's who's going to use that money to put it towards the kingdom so that we're ready for when the mark of the beast comes. Is what they got to use it all before that mark of the beast comes. So get ready to put it into the ministry quickly so we can be ready for the mark of the beast.
Amen. How many of you know that you can give away everything you've got and God's going to replace it? He's going to replace it. There ain't nothing you can't do. Yeah, Patrick.
I guess I'm kind of thinking in terms of the technicalities or the practical, you know, how number one, how is that going to be done? By the way, who is this coming from? Is this obviously we're talking about the deep state and probably so where is this coming from? I mean, I know what the source is, all that's been confiscated or brought back into the kingdom or brought back into possession by taking down the deep state. But who is distributing this? I can't hear you.
Well, that's because I had my thing muted up, I guess. But, by the way, Debbie, check your email. Anyway, the quantum financial system is going to take the place of the, deep state's, fiat money garbage that they've got out there. In fact, countries all across the world are dumping dollars right now. They're dumping dollars. They're not going to mess with the fiat dollars anymore. And, that's something that is happening. Also, not too long ago, probably a couple of years ago, maybe three, they, confiscated 650 plane loads, great big military plane loads of gold and, silver and, precious jewels out of, a tunnel from the Vatican to Jerusalem, where they were using it to store the stolen money from the U.S. people. Also, that's not all. There was a figure I saw the other day. Now, look, all this stuff is hearsay as far as I'm concerned, but this is what's financing this thing. They say they have quintrillion dollars. Missy, you're not muted. We could hear that. That's okay. Quintrillion. How much is that? My calculator don't do that. They got the money. This is the money that they have gotten back from the deep state and the outlaws that have Rothschilds and Rockefeller and all that money, it looks like. So I don't know. That's what they're saying. That's where the money's coming from. And it's not where you think it is Fort Knox. Yeah, no, it's not at Fort Knox. There's not a gold bullion there. They stole that out of there years ago. They got it in another place. I think he said it was in Reno.
So
that's what you're saying, anyway.
In its distribution, Will it go to every one on Earth?
Or no, just the U.S. in this thing that I US. Just showed you. Yeah. No, just in the U.S. for what I just showed you, except for the last one, which is the redemption. The redemption is the currency that is going to be taking back everybody's currency in the world that belongs to the Jasar and Nassar. Jasar is the worldwide. Nassar is the United States. But that's, what they will do is they will turn their currencies in when the time comes. And they will be paid in American treasury notes. They're not called dollars anymore. They'll be called treasury notes. You can, as a matter of fact, they got them at the banks now, I understand, is not the fiat dollars with the, you remember the old silver certificates we used to have back in the early 70s and 60s? Well, it's going to be basically the same thing, but it's going to be called a treasury note. And it's going to be backed by gold, precious metals. That's what it's all backed by. And everybody that belongs to Gasar and Nassar, well, Gasar, is all their money is going to be gold backed, every bit of it. There are countries out there that hasn't been mined yet that are just full of gold. The ground is just plumb full of gold and precious metals. And these are countries that are African countries that are dirt poor because of the tyranny that the government has done over them. But that's changing because of it. And like I said, 3.5 years is, you know, they're saying what the so-called people in the know said, well, this is going to bring about 1,000 years of peace. Okay, that's not what the word said. It's going to bring a lot of hardship on people. Okay, Benita.
Yeah, I read or heard somewhere that when that payout happens, like for the other countries, like for South America, for example, if you've crossed the border into America and you want your money, you have to go back to your own country to get it. And so you can't get your redemption here in America. You have to go back to your country. So I don't know if this is true, that'll take a lot of the people back where they belong, not here. So I don't know. That's one thing.
Are you
that
talking?
I heard.
Are you saying for people from that country that have that currency, they'll have to go back to their own country to redeem it?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. If you're from
Brazil,
are
you talking about everybody?
No. If you just came over the border from, you know, Brazil or something, in order to get the money, you have to go back to Brazil to redeem it.
Could be. It could be.
Which would take it, I mean, that just takes everybody back to where they belong and not infiltrating the United States. But, you know, I don't know about those, all those men that they're flying over and bringing over for, to start the war with here in the United States, but we don't have to worry about them. The Lord's got that covered.
I don't know. Let's talk about word though. I'm tired of talking about money. It's making me sweat. Let's talk about the Lord and what's going to be happening. The first 3.5 years is going to be relatively, okay for the Christian, the true Christians. But the second 3.5 years, everybody knows that, they're coming after God's people in a big way. And I'm sure they'll shut the money off. And that's why the first 3.5 years is pivotal into getting everything in place, right? You have to get everything in place. And I guess what? God's going to give us the angels to help us to do that. I like it. I like it. And one thing they did say, they said this. If you come to a redemption center and you got the wrong vibes, you ain't getting your money. They got a machine there that can tell whether or not you got the right vibes or not. Now, how they know that, I don't know. But apparently it's kind of like a factious spirit. And if you got a factious spirit and you go in there to get your money, redeem some money or currency or whatever it is, they're not going to let you have it. That's what they're saying. And also, if you go out there and you buy a bunch of dope with your money, they'll know about it and they'll shut you off right there. If you use it for any other purpose other than humanitarian, they will, they'll shut you out. According to what they're saying. Okay, Lord, we know that you can provide any and everything that we need. And we praise you, Father, that we don't have to worry about laws, things like that, that prohibit you from doing things. We're going to get the gospel out because that's going to be our job. Getting the gospel out. Getting the books out to the people in order to find, to know the word of God. Amen. All right, any more questions on the end time stuff since we're on that? Somebody tell me who the two witnesses are. Nobody knows. I am so disappointed. Okay, Julie. Barbara, go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, I'm just going to take a stab at it. From my understanding, the man-child is going to be raising up the two witnesses, and they go out like Jesus taught, two by two, to minister the gospel. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. You got it, girl. You get the pen today. Amen. Lord of God. You men ought to be ashamed of yourself. I tell you what. Go ahead, Andrew.
It's also shown in the Mount of Transfiguration, the two witnesses there. And there's going to be Jesus there and Peter, James, and John. And, of course, God shows up, too. So the two witnesses that are there, they just didn't appear out of nowhere. This is talking about the end times. So those two witnesses are going to be there, and they were talking to Jesus. So what is that going to mean? In our day, and so was Peter, James, and John had a little conversation there with Jesus too, and then the Father interrupted, of course. He was there too.
Going to be the disciples going out, isn't it?
Praise God.
Yeah. Amen. Well, if that's the case, who's the beast that comes out the ocean and all of that stuff? Yeah, Andrew.
There's two beasts. There's the beast from chapter 13 of Revelation, from verse 1 to verse 10. And then the second beast is from verse 11 to to the end of the chapter. And one of them is, I sort of take that first beast and some of the things they're actually doing now in society, some blasphemies out there, just goes to show how close we're to that first beast to actually be fulfilled. And some of the things you might see in the second beast, which is an apostate religious system, is actually showing up there even now. So I sort of look at that and what it says in chapter 17 of Revelation, that there is a mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots and abominations of the earth. So there is that first beast who will be that mystery Babylon that makes the harlot. And they use abominations to do it. And an abomination is, according to 13 and 6, talks about blasphemies there, is an abomination is a blasphemy in action. So if we can see some of these things going on in the world, you know, like there was a movie out recently about the little children. So they're actually are buying and selling souls, little souls and stuff. And so there's things there that are very bad in this world that is associated with a beastly system, but the dragon has to come first. So, and he turns his authority over to the beast. And that's why when the water comes out of the mouth of the dragon, they get saved in chapter 12. Because the church is going to still be very strong there. It's going to be a time of great growth, I think, in the 3.5 years that are coming. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. That's why the shaking's coming, is to shake out these apostate churches, the people of God, the elect of God, to get them out of there. And they're going to come against God's true people at some point in time, just like they did in the first century. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, it's been since the 1860s that evolution has been taught. And in Revelation chapter 4, creation is mentioned. And in Revelation chapter 5, creation is mentioned. Revelation chapter 10, creation is mentioned. Chapter 14, it's mentioned. Now, this evangelist for evolutionism went to every nation in the world, and it's the curriculum in their schools. And, you know, the last page of the Bible in chapter 22, it says you're not supposed to add or take away from this word. So you see, it might even follow that evolutionary cycle for what the beast is. But they've been having this since the 1860s. That's four witnesses, and you only need three out of the mouth of two or three witnesses that my word be established. And they got evolution where it says creation in the book of Revelation, in those four chapters that I mentioned there. So that's a curriculum of the nations. All the nations teach this. But even with the basic creation versus evolution, there is a correlation there for that. But they did change that. And you do have some people who don't realize that there is a lineage in chapter 3 of Luke from Jesus to Adam. And there's that wonderful verse in chapter 1 that says, "For no word of God shall be void of power." They came against God's word here. And they changed it to evolution, not creation. And you can't add or take away from this word. You know, that evolution is everywhere. It's in people's conversations. People say they're Christian, and yet they speak evolution. People, they print it and do really fancy printing of it. And I'm not saying it's the main event of Revelation, but that's just one of the items. There's plenty more blasphemies that they have added to them. Praise and glory to God to keep the word.
Amen. All right, anybody else? You got something, Pat? Okay. Well, one thing about it that we all know, echo baloney. Anyway, one thing that we all know, it's going to be an exciting time we're fixing to go into. It's going to be an exciting time. What's the what's the man child's main job? We got a few minutes left here. What's the man child's main job? Yeah, Pat.
I think well, beyond teaching and raising up the bride, I think the man-child's job is going to be to demonstrate the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because the man-child will have entered into the perfection that God created in those that are sanctified in Hebrews, as he explains in Hebrews 10. And that place of perfection or completeness or complete complete life of Christ, he who has died to self by manifestation in the soul, who is connected to that perfection in Christ. I know that I've read a lot and thought about a lot of the holiness teachings of the 1700s, 1800s, when John Wesley, you know, the Wesley started a process. And I've read quite a few authors having learned, received, walked through some of these things. And the Wesleys, even though they did not have they did not reveal or did not have the full gamut or package, I guess you might say, of that God wants to display, reveal in Christ in these end days. They had a very significant portion, and that is holiness. And they brought to the forefront the understanding, or the understanding of the death to self by faith, that God manifestly puts to death that sinful nature that we inherited and sets us free to walk as dead men, shall we say, as dead, freed to walk in the fullness of Christ's life within us. The man-child will have, will understand that and will be abiding in that by faith, and will be able to clearly teach others how to enter into that faith, because it is by faith. It's I know that, you know, we tend to, and I think for good reason, God takes us through like David's book of sanctification, progressive and instant and progressive. And I think in a sense that instant and progressive is God takes us through a progressive process so that we might, I'm going to say, finally enter into the rest of the instant death to self, death to the sin nature, and by faith enter into what he already did through one sacrifice in Christ. Through one sacrifice, he perfected them that are sanctified. He did it all in one action. It just unfortunately takes us time to enter into the awareness and enter into that faith. But I think the man child is going to have that locked down. So he's going to know how to do it, how to abide in it, and how to bring people into it quickly. That's what I think. Sorry, I didn't mean to explode on that, but there it is.
No, that's okay. That's all right. Yeah, that man's, he's an important figure. He's going to have God's wisdom. He's going to do the things that Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? Jesus raised up the apostles, didn't he? He raised up the apostles. When he raised up the apostles, them apostles chose the fivefold ministry. Jesus, the man child's ministry is to go out and raise up the apostles to disciple the world, to disciple the apostles. And they'll go out and multiply, and then next thing you know, you got a worldwide movement. And you do that with signs and wonders, don't you? And those signs and wonders are what's going to make the regular church mad. Because they're going to see all those things that we're doing, and they don't do them because they don't believe and don't even have the Holy Spirit in their churches. And don't even believe that the Holy Spirit is available to them. Well, they think you just get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, just to add something else that was coming to my mind is, you know, that what, you know, a man's child's going to do everything Jesus did, like you said. But then the other thing is he's coming to fulfill prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. And a lot of that's the judgments, like he's coming as the white horse rider in Revelation 6, and then also to fulfill, like Isaiah 61. It says, you know, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, and appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them a garland of ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, praise a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And everything's going to be restored, and a lot of things are going to be fulfilled, prophecies that haven't yet been fulfilled.
Amen. Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, Jesus went and fed and washed the disciples' feet, too.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, he's going to be just like Jesus. Man's house is going to be doing the same thing that Jesus did. And one of the first things he's going to do is lead the bride into the wilderness, right? After the anointing. That's going to be fun. Yeah, Andrew.
Do you think this man-child is going to be speaking in parables?
And it's going to be what? Things?
Do you think he's going to be speaking in parables, or maybe doing things that, you know, like
Jesus did? Yeah, he'd be doing
that. Yeah, you know, like that, to show the meaning of what he said after the foot washing too, you know. So there was a meaning to that. But there was, you know, like there was words where he said, well, I don't think he would say this one, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. I don't think he's going to use that one. But, you know, I just kind of wonder if that's going to be, he's just going to speak more laid open about this stuff, because, you know, there's it's not going to be where, for instance, you get someone like Sheffy, who went from the age of 19 all the way to 82 or something. I forget how long he lived, and you're not going to have your full lifetime to do all of this stuff. There's just that 3.5 years. So there is going to be a huge increase of God's grace for people. It has to be. Because when iniquity abounds, grace abounds too. So,
yeah. Well, didn't he say something about the angels giving out too?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be, I don't know. I think he's going to be doing just like Jesus. I think he's going to be talking in parables, because there's a lot of them out there that wouldn't accept it anyway. I mean, I have laid out for friends of mine and laid it out perfectly when the rapture was going to be, and showed them the verses in the Bible. And, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that. And then the next day came back and said, I just don't believe all that. So you just say, okay, all right, just go off in your ignorance. No, you don't tell them that. You pray for them. Okay. Praise God. Well, we're out of time. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we go? Yeah, Andrew.
I was going to mention this on Saturday, but I just want to pray that the Lord, I've already prayed it, but I just want people to agree with me, that the Lord keep my teeth. Because, you know, you went through all this different stuff with your teeth. all your life, and you want the Lord to keep your teeth now because of this, the different things that happen to us. So Lord, I just pray that you keep my teeth, and whoever wants this also, Lord, keep their teeth too, because we must fully trust in you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for restoration of everybody's teeth that needs it, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, Amen. For that. I glorify you, Father, and I thank you that everybody's going to walk out of here with perfect teeth, in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. It's coming, folks. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Glory to God. It's coming. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Ooh, all right. Anybody else? We got just about a half a minute. Better get it in quick. Thank you, Lord, for biscuits and gravy in the morning. Glory. Hallelujah. All right, y'all be blessed. I'll see you on the other side, maybe. I gotta hit that. I can't hit that one. I did that last. I want to apologize for doing that too. Let me turn this thing up.